Awesome stuff and great leader. Thank you for that. If you're a guest with us today and you say, well, we're in church, don't they want our money? But you didn't take any offering. That's because the kiosks are there for you. The regulars know what to do. So there's two in the back, one on the side. And I think the people on the outside can come inside and do that. But we always want to thank God. God has given us wonderful provision, hasn't he? I'm thankful for the paycheck I get and for the one my wife gets, but I know that comes from God. I may work, but God gave me the ability to work, the mind to work, the body to work. So let's pause just a moment before we get into our teaching time and just thank God for his provision. Father, we give you glory today for what you've provided for us this week. We worked this week, and we got a paycheck. But Lord, we know that you are our provider. Lord, you always are the one who meets our needs. So we want to say thank you. And as we return our offerings, our missions, pledges, and all the other things that we've been provided for, we want to return that to you and just say thank you. We give you the glory, Lord, for your wonderful, bountiful blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. All right. Go deeper, be whole, God and us. That's this morning's title. Last week we said, go deeper, be whole, God and me. Today is go deeper, be whole, God and us. Because you see, as we get whole individually, it should follow that we should be getting more whole as a group. It just kind of makes sense, at least in a logical fashion, but that doesn't always occur. That God just is diabolical sometimes. And he says, well, it's great if you can figure yourself out, but let's see if you can figure yourself out with everybody else who's trying to figure themselves out. And let's just put them all in a group and see how it works. Well, sometimes it works well, sometimes not so well. In the church, it's the same thing, that there are no perfect churches, there are conflicts, there are issues, there are things that occur. But here's one thing that should be a constant. We're all moving toward being like Jesus, being whole, and loving each other. I mean, that's the goal. Well, what are you trying to accomplish, loving each other? Well, what do you do while we try to love each other? But no. What's like the end game, loving each other? See, that is the deal. We're going to learn that this morning as we dive into the scripture. And that's hard enough as it is, isn't it? If that is our goal, that's not easy. But that's God's desire for us. Let's go to our theme scripture for this series, but also for the year. Let's read it together as it shows up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. Let's all say it together. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. But did you catch that little phrase in the middle there? In the midst of, and I want you to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of God, and to know his love that surpasses understanding, that you may be filled to the measure, full measure of God. Right in the middle there it says, and I pray this, that you will achieve all of that, what? Together. That's the context, folks. You are searching, you are moving toward becoming whole and in knowing that love of God, which is his fullness, together. In other words, you can't do it by yourself. It's a futile effort to try to achieve that by yourself. You can put on your garb, like the holy man who goes up on the mountain and he sits there contemplating God and thinking that that's such a great sacrifice and he's going to find God. And it's all great and wonderful up there by yourself on the mountain. Where it gets tricky is when you come down off the mountain and get around everybody else. Why in the world, or how in the world do you develop the fruit of the spirit of patience unless you're with everybody else who's driving you nuts? How are you going to develop the fruit of the spirit of peace unless you come down off the mountain and you get around everybody else who keeps messing up your peace? How are you going to do all that? See, it's together is how it works. Three times in the book of Ephesians, three times, Paul uses this phrase, the full measure of God. The full measure, the whole, there's no more room. or it's overflowing. First time is in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. Reads this way. And God placed all things under his feet, speaking of Jesus, and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. Get this. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the head, and God fills him and fills us, provides for us, for we are his fullness. We're his body. Then in chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, here's what it says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. There's that unity, love each other thing. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, get this, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. And we just read the first one in our opening passage. Three times. We should be getting this by now. Gaining the fullness of God, becoming whole, becoming everything God wants us to be, does not happen alone. I don't care how many quiet times you have every day. It'll help you, but it'll be tested together. And then when you become vulnerable together, you take another quantum leap of growth. And the grace of God is seen together. The mercy of God is seen together. The glory of God is seen together. For we together are his body. The body of Christ is the fullness of God. To know his love occurs together, so we achieve the fullness of God. And this equipping process to reach the unity so that we might know the fullness of God all happens. All happens together. See, that's why Cassie's up here. Get this now. If you're new with us, you'll understand from the get-go. If you've been around a while, hopefully you get this. We don't care about programs here. We don't care. Programs don't mean anything. What means something is, what does the Bible say, and how might we on a practical level do that? And we found that our small group structure helps us do what God's word says. So it's not about the program. It's about providing an opportunity for us to be together and to get all of that. You see, God's desire is for people. His desire is for you. Not just you. His desire is for us. Get the names that the Bible gives us for the church. The body of Christ. The bride of Christ. The family of God, the people of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got the Trinity all there, and the Trinity all says, my people, my people, my people, my people, over and over again. Some names given to the people of the church, brothers and sisters, that's together. Saints, those people called to a higher level. The elect chosen by God, the disciples, followers of a leader, the people of the way. I love that one. We are the people who go a certain way. And Christians, little Christs. That sounds a lot like my people, doesn't it? Just even the titles of the church that God gave and that he used for us. It's about the people. It's always about the people. You and I. And those, the rest of those outside, we're going to talk about those folks next week. But this gathering is precious to God. That we love each other is his goal. Read John 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed just before his crucifixion. The last prayer he prayed except for the words on the cross. Do you know what he prayed? Oh God, let them love each other. The way I love them and the way you love them. That's his prayer. Not, God, let them grow a big church. God, let them lead big ministries. God, let them be successful at work. God, let them, you know, on and on and on we could go. Those are good things. Not a problem with those things. But his prayer was let them love each other. That's our goal. If we don't love each other, we've missed it. I want to show you an example of loving. I'd like to ask Laihoi Verkirk and Julius Agmobase to come. I'm asking these two in particular to come today because Julius has been our outreach director. There he is. I was looking for you. Julius, there are a couple microphones right here you can pick up. One for Laihoi and one for yourself. Welcome home.
Thank you.
You've been missed. She was on vacation with her family. Julius has been our outreach director for a number of years. What does outreach director means? It means it's the Bible said, go and make disciples of all the world. It's about the people. Touch people. Mobilize people in here to go out there. And so we create a structure by which we can do that. And Julius has been our just fabulous leader of this ministry for quite a while. Well, in the Lord's direction, it's become time for that ministry to transition directorships, and Laihoi has been serving on that ministry for quite a number of years. She might have even been the first, was she like the first person?
Stephanie
was, and then Laihoi. Okay, we'll give credit. Okay, Stephanie's number one, and then Laihoi came next. But the story is really interesting. These two and their families were together back in the Netherlands where they first met years and years ago in a small group together. Before Christian and Laihoi were married. Was it before you guys were married? No, you were already.
Yeah,
you guys are married. You guys were not.
No, they were not.
You are not married. You are not married. Look what small groups do. They get you married. Awesome. If you're single right now, get in a group. Anyway, so they're all together in the Netherlands, serving God together, growing together, learning about each other. And then the Agmobases come to the States. And then not soon after that, the Verkirks come to the States. And we're blessed because of that relationship. Well, now it's just a beautiful picture of then the transition, even after so many years. And I first want to ask Laihoi, you a couple of questions. Why is outreach so important to you that you would want to take on this role?
So I'm going to read from Mark 16:15. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's the assignment that we've been given, to go into all of the world, which includes right here in our local community. And we're given an opportunity to spread the good news right here and stand on the scriptures of Matthew 25-35. And let me read from that. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then they asked the Lord, like, why? Did I do those things for you? And the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's kind of what we're trying to accomplish with our local outreach team. And that's why outreach is important to me.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, what's your vision? On a practical level, what might the folks here expect as you lead from here on?
So our vision is to pursue and realize God's vision in partnering with organizations that are aligned with feeding, clothing, and looking after those in need. And these are some of the parts that we cover really well, and then there are some areas that we feel like we need to strengthen in, so that's kind of what we're working towards in the coming year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why should these folks, the people of God, join you? This is Groups in Common Sunday, so they can go out and find your ministry out on the tables. Why should they join you?
Well, I think if you have a heart for outreach, if you feel like God is tugging on your heart to go out there, talk to people, help them, do something with your hands, and be able to enrich people's lives, outreach is an opportunity for you to do so. And so there are many opportunities within our local outreach. You saw a few on the slides with City Team. You can help with Mobile Pantry. You can help with Hope on Wheels, which is your brand new event. It's a food truck going into the homeless encampments We serve food there. You help with serving the food, making the food, and actually going in there and touching lives.
Awesome. Julius, come on. Come a little closer.
What happened?
Yeah, he went out on the sidelines. I just want to appreciate you and thank you. As I think about you, I think of the word apostle. Because the apostle Paul and the work of an apostle was to go where something is not, where something was not, create it, establish it, and then it goes in somewhere else and does the same thing. You've done that multiple times, not only here in the church, but in your outside the church life. And you're gifted that way. And you took over outreach ministries a number of years ago, and it became excellent as it is today. And now Lihoy is serving under you. You're doing it again. You're apostling and leaving that to Lihoy. And I just can't wait to hear what God is going to do with your next apostleship venture. Because everything you seem to touch works. That's a gift of God. I say that to thank you, but to praise God for giving it to you. And I'm delighted, Lihoy, that you're going to be taking over. I watched your life. And you are excellent. In organization, you are passionate with your faithfulness, and your leadership is already starting to show results. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Julius, you may have a word to say, but as he is speaking, he's going to pray over her, and I'd like the elders to join while he's maybe making a comment.
Thank you, Pastor Greg, and I want to thank you and the board for the partnership, because what we've been able to do in the outreach team would not have been possible without that partnership. And I want to thank Stephanie. Stephanie numero uno. She was the very first person who joined the team. She's been there, and I asked her when Lihoy was going to take over, and I said, you know, are you going to stick around and help Lihoy? And she said yes. I want to thank every member of the outreach team as it is. But Lihoy is going to be great for the church. You know, she has already been doing that, as Pastor Greg said. I gave her charge of city team at a time when, you know, the volunteer base was dwindling, and, you know, she came on and people got excited about going there to serve, and then increased it and expanded it. And it was very clear to me that she was going to be the person to take over. I spoke with Stephanie. We both agreed. We prayed about this. I spoke with the eldership. And then finally spoke with Lihoy. So Lihoy, thank you for saying yes.
Yes, you're welcome.
We want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Elders, come on
so
over.
Guys.
Yeah. Come on in.
Father, thank you so much. Lord, you are the one who gave this vision, and you gave us the scripture. We understood that when we give water to somebody who needs it, when we give clothing, a city team, when we give food, a city team or JW House, when we invite a stranger, you know, in San Francisco through the letter writing ministry, all these things, that we are doing it unto you. Lord, you gave the vision, you brought the people, every member of the outreach team today, including the new ones, and you also brought Lihoy because you knew a day like this would come. Lord, we bless her. We know that you've anointed her. We thank you that our church will be better. Mm-hmm. And the influence that we have in our community to influence people's lives positively, it will grow. And whether it's 5 years from now, like for me, or whether it's 10 years from now, whether it's more, when Lihoy hands it off to a new leader, she will hand off the local outreach team, the local outreach of our church, in a more influential place. Many more people will be touched by this ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Because that's why. When you become whole, and all of us are working that, we become whole. As we become whole, why can't the world become whole? That's what God's design is. Well, where did it all begin? It began with God's heart in the garden. Here's what God said. It is not good for man to be alone. And you say, well, Pastor, that's talking about man and woman. It is. It's talking about marriage. But his heart is the same throughout the ages. Not just about a husband and a wife, but about us. It's not good for us to be alone. Why is it that, and I've experienced this, maybe you've experienced it, I've certainly heard it, I don't know how many times, when someone gets a little bit, their walk with God starts to struggle a little bit, or there's some issues, you know what happens? They isolate. Suddenly I don't see him so much around, and I have to make a phone call and say, what's going on? How you doing? The isolation occurs, just like the isolation occurred in the garden. And God said, that should be a warning sign. When we have the temptation to isolate, it says something's not right. Something's not right. Because it's not good that man should be alone. God called Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And here's what God said to this man, Abram, back in the very beginnings of the world. He said this. Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's God's calling on this man, Abram. The name Abram means exalted father. We sang this morning in that song, I thank God. He gave me a new name. God changed Abram, the name Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, which means exalted father of a vast multitude. God's desire is to grow us, to make us whole, so that we can bless. Lahoy is going to be leading so that we can bless. And that's what God's call was to Abram. And then changed his name to Abram. Said, you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be a multitude of people. But jump toward the New Testament now. And here's what God says. He desires a people. So where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. God wants to be together with people. Matthew 16, 16 to 18 says this. And Jesus said, and who do they say I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. God's desire was to build a church, a gathering, an assembly called together. And he heard the words given to him by God of a man named Simon. He said, Simon, you've been a listener. That's your name. But you're going to be my rock. I'm changing your name. I'm giving you a new identity. And on this rock, the rock of Peter, the rock of the words that Peter said, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that is what I'm going to build my church on. People, that's God's goal. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. Jesus said this, or rather, Peter wrote this, that same Peter. Says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Aren't those great words? Talking about you. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. When did that happen? In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon that gathering of just over 100, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and that was the birth of the church on the celebration of harvest, the day of Pentecost. And who spoke up? But the rock. With the same words he spoke to Jesus a couple of years prior, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that word, the church exploded. Therefore, he could say those words, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's who we are together. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, And God himself will be with them and be their God. Is it getting through yet that God desires a people? He desires us so much that he's been working from the very beginning, and he will continue to work until we all are gathered and see him face to face. And what's going to happen is that we will be his people, and he will be our God, and we will love each other. We'll love each other so intimately that there is no such thing as marriage anymore. And not speaking of any kind of sexual connotations, but we will love each other like we love our spouses. Everybody together will be his people. What would the church look like practically if we were whole? What would happen? What would we look like? The word church was not an uncommon word back in the days of Jesus. He only mentions church one time, that passage I just read when he spoke about Peter. The word church, the ecclesia, the word church just means a people summoned by a herald. Whenever there was a gathering of people summoned by a person who would stand on a street corner and say, you know, hear everybody, I've got news. And that news may have been that there was a great military victory that was won, or maybe a new tax, or maybe just something new in the community. The herald would stand and say, I have a message, gather around to hear the message. And that gathering was the ecclesia, the church. But Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build a church. He says, I'm going to build my church. There's a distinction there. That distinction was that he's gathering an assembly. Therefore, you're putting the words, the wires together here. Therefore, the assembly of God, which is what we are. That's our fellowship name. Because we have been called by God to gather as the ecclesia, the assembly of God. Not called by some herald, called by God himself. God has called us to be with him and to be with each other. And his message is not about some military win or some new tax or some new thing. His message is the gospel that Jesus was born of a virgin. He came as man, Emmanuel, God with us. And that he grew to be the sinless Lamb of God, died on the cross, but on the third day rose again to new life. And he ascended, but he's coming back to gather all of his people, past, present, and future. And we will be his forever. We're called by that message. And now he has given us the same calling as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to go out and do the same thing. We're his people. We're called by his name. This church it's local, but it's also global. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and to the ends of the age. That's why we're going to Costa Rica in July. Come with us. You'll hear more on the 5th if you come to the orientation. That's why La Jolla does outreach ministry. That's why we get outside the walls, because God's people, when they're working in wholeness, do that. We're the heralds that spread the good news. The church enjoys true devoted fellowship with each other. Cassie read that great scripture from Acts chapter 2. You don't get to choose your family. You ever thought about that? I didn't get to choose my brothers and sisters. Have there been issues? Well, let me just ask you, have there ever been issues in your family? Well, of course, but they're family. That's what family does. And sometimes it can get pretty ugly. Sometimes. Have there ever been issues at Abundant Life? Oh, yeah. Too many stories to tell you. Been arguments? Sure. Been differences of opinion? Oh, yeah. But we're family. That's what we do. And sometimes people are called to a different part of the world or the nation, and that's awesome. People are called in. And we bless those who go, and we welcome those who come. Family is what we do. And here's what God gets really, really, really mad at. Not the person, but the behavior. Here's what God, he hates division in the church. Read the New Testament and find out in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Acts chapter 5. The stuff that divides the church is the things that God will come after. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. when they tried to lie and bring division. His togetherness with his people is precious. And the church is open to everybody. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome. Well, what about if they have a different idea about orientation? Well, let's welcome them and let God clean them up. Well, yeah, but I've got a daughter in youth group, and I just saw that guy with the green mohawk with piercings all over and a chain coming from his ear to his nose to his mouth to his other ear and a tattoo across his forehead that says, I hate the world. He came and sat down to my daughter, and I think I'm not too comfortable with that. We welcome everybody. Everybody's welcome. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, whoever. And then let's let God clean people up as we preach the truth. Everybody's welcome. That's what the church might look like. We are whole and healed to be healers. We are made healthy to help other people become healthy. We are coming into a right-mindedness to help others become less confused. We gain understanding to help others understand. That's who we are when we become whole. To wrap up this morning, before we go into linger time, I'd like to ask my wife to come and share briefly on some thoughts on that last point.
Contrary to what you might think, Greg does not rehearse his sermons with me the day or the week before, so I don't always know what he's speaking about. But yesterday we went to that art thing where you had a word for your year. And when I got home, he asked me, well, what was your word? And I said, blessing. And he said, really? I said, yeah. God has said it's to be a blessing to anyone and everyone around me this year. Be a blessing. And he asked me to explain it, and I explained basically his sermon. And he said, wow, is that not confirmation of what God, he already had said earlier this week he wanted me to share. But that was a confirmation of what God wants us to know. He wants us to be a blessing, but it's really hard to do that when we are broken inside. It's really hard. So I'll go ahead and share a few things as we go deeper and we better learn how to encounter this living God. We open up ourselves to hear the truth from him and not the lies that self-talk. You know what it is? It's the thing going around in your head all day long, telling you things and reinforcing things that are not true. Somebody may have said that about you, or you just feel it about yourself, but it's still not true. That's just going around and around and all day long, and it's made a groove in your brain that you just almost can't get out of. But those lies, they perpetually speak that falseness rather than the truth. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. God, Jesus is almost obsessed in the New Testament with that. Fear. Fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So whenever we're afraid, we have a red flag and think something is wrong in me right now. Something is wrong. So the situation may stay the same, but something is wrong in me. During one of my prayerful encounters with Jesus last year, I confessed something to God that made me afraid. After a bit of dialoguing with him, and I don't know if you know how to do that with the Lord, but you're like, Lord, what do you want me to know? This is how I'm really feeling. What do you think? And you wait and listen. He told me that you are special. I am not someone that has struggled with a poor self-image my whole life. It's just not been one of my things. But, however, God showed me a theme that I was telling myself most of my adult life. I'm the youngest of four, so I always felt very special. You youngest know that. is that I kept telling myself, I'm nothing special. Because I kept fighting the whole idea of a false theology in my head that I gave myself. When I would receive a compliment, I'd brush it off. When my husband would compliment, I'm like, no, I can't. No, always deflecting and deferring it. And so eventually that became a problem. And he's like, I'm just going to stop because you keep saying, no, I don't look that great. At work, I have a private practice in healthcare. People would drive hours sometimes to see me when they moved. Or people would like, no, I'm just really nothing special. I mean, any person should be doing what I'm doing. So always deflecting, I'm not special. At the church, oh gosh, your pastor's wife, we just love you, you're so great. I'm like, no, I'm really nothing special, just average. And I would make sure that I was avoiding those feelings of being better than someone, being conceited, being arrogant. Somehow I felt that maybe that was more godly to be nothing special. And so I was actually denying my identity in God. And I didn't know that. When God revealed this to me, I had to question my theology on pride and arrogance and conceit versus I am made in the image of God. Do you think he would die for someone that wasn't special? Right? All the scriptures that he says he dances over us with singing. You're like, yeah, but I'm just kind of nothing special. And it's like, no, you are special. And realizing that that is not a sin. I am not standing up here arrogant that I am more special than you. I am not. You're special too. And so it was by choosing to just receive that truth versus my own beliefs, I unexpectedly changed. I'm genuinely thankful when others appreciate my contributions and talents and skills. And I regularly say things to people like, when they compliment, I said, well, thank you. That made me feel very special. I did not do that my last number of years. and I'm like, thank you. Things at work that only I can do, I now say, thank you for making me feel so special. That made me feel special. I'm actually saying it and owning it. Out of my heart flows a deep desire now that everyone I encounter feels special too. There's no rivalry with levels of being special. I'm like, oh, they feel special. That means I can't. That means maybe they feel more special than me. That does not exist. We're all feeling special. We can all know we're special because that's the truth that we are. See, when you receive the truth from an encounter with God, that's the key here. You have to have an encounter with God and have him identify who you are. We have a choice. He did his part. We now have the choice to believe it and receive it. How many times have you heard the truth, but you have not believed it and received it? You're like, yeah, that's good, but I'm going to go back with my old lie. That's not who I am. And we're going to go back with the self-talk. And it's a choice. A relationship with God is he's giving it. We have the choice to receive it and believe it. Now I'm owning it, living it. I'm free to let others deal with their own issues and that can't take away my identity. If something happens and someone says something, let's say you got laid off at work, you're immediately going to be challenged on, is this still true? Am I still special? Am I still enough? And like, whoa, yes, I am. The situation did not change my identity. And so that actually frees me to let you have your own issue. Your issue doesn't have to change my identity. It's part of why I feel whole, and I want everyone to experience that freedom. At any point when I realize my heart is not at peace, I am afraid, or I'm contemplating shame or guilt, I take that as a red flag that something isn't right in me, and I meet with God, and I ask him to show me what I'm believing that isn't true. I know it sounds simplistic, and I have to tell you, I get a lot of pushback from Christians about this. Oh, that's good for you, but my issue's so much deeper. My lies, I've got that for so many years. And I'm like, all I can speak is from my own experience. I don't know what to say. Some things we have to work on longer. We need groups to help us with to keep us on track on the truth. Other things God can just encounter with us, tell us the truth, and we're like, I'm owning that. That is true. And from this day on, it's called repentance. Change the way you think. I am special. Doesn't make me arrogant. It doesn't make me conceited. It doesn't make you less than or me more than you. It's just truth. But are the scriptures true or not? Are we really forgiven if we repent and confess? Or do we just keep holding on to because we just feel like we need to feel bad for a little longer than what we did? I had an encounter with God about 15, 20 years ago that I just was not, a certain pattern in my life was just repetitive, and I'm like, I am failing at this. And I just literally gave up on God and said, I cannot change on my own. I can't do this. And I am tired of feeling bad. Is that what Christianity is feeling bad? Who wants to be part of that? There's enough faiths and religions that make you always feel bad and guilty. And that is not good news. That is not good news. Either the Bible is true or it isn't. And we have to sit there and be stubborn with it. And when I repent and I say, Lord, I failed. I did this. I get up and do you know I am okay? I do not keep holding on to feeling bad. I decided, God, this cannot be what you want. You did not die so that us Christians are feeling bad all the time. We are not enough. I'm not a good enough Christian, whatever. I'm like, if that's it, I want out. We're to be pitied amongst all people if that's what we're like. Why would anyone want to be in your situation? If you do not honestly believe what the Lord tells you and you just still keep feeling bad all the time. Welcome to the good news. Come on in. Yeah, like, no, thank you. I got that out there already. I want freedom. At some point, we need to believe and receive what God is offering, and we should. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I got wind that one of my employees, there's only two of us as the providers, he was going to change jobs, possibly. Got that through the back door, and oh, my gosh, fear came over me. And you know what I was thinking? I'm going to be on my own. I won't be able to handle all this myself. Me. What about me? God, you're not going to provide. And I was just like, whoa, breaking out in a sweat. And we had a prayer meeting that night, and I was back there, and I'm just saying, God, I am afraid. Something is wrong in me. Tell me the truth. Fear. And the verse that always pops up with fear is it says, perfect fear, perfect love casts out all fear. I'm like, so obviously I am not living in perfect love right here. Something is wrong in me. And I thought, Jesus, you perfectly love. So if you were the boss, what would you do? And he thought, it's not about me. I would feel what is best for that man. What is best for, his name was Brandon. What is best for Brandon? Is it best he work for me or is it best he go somewhere else? I worked that out with the Lord. And I'm telling you, I just like that. Maybe you're not, but it can happen. I got it from that prayer. I'm like, oh, I'm all right. Ready for Monday. Going to meet him. And I came with an attitude of, how can I bless you? What do you need? Maybe I'm not the one for you. And he came because he stayed with me another 5 years till he moved to Texas. Because he needed to make more money. And I was already going to offer him a raise and he didn't even know it. But I came to that meeting without fear because when we're in fear, we make wrong decisions. What about me? You're not going to provide. So I was very calm, and it was like, wow, Lord, our fear is a red flag. Our personal freedom releases us to be a blessing to others. It's not about me. But we must receive it ourselves first. We need wholeness. You need to be whole. I need to be whole. Because we can't give to others what we don't have. That's where the hypocrisy we feel like being a Christian, right? Oh, you want to be free? But you're like, yeah, but I've got this stuff that I am so bound and imprisoned. You can't share the good news. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So that means we need to love ourselves so that we can love our neighbors. Well, now I'm not constantly looking inward for where I might find out where I'm off track or being a mess. I'm sure there are lots of layers to me that the Lord still needs to rip off. Special, enough, all those kind of things. But I'm trusting God to show me when he needs to show me that. I am not going to be someone that's consistently inwardly looking for all the mess that's inside. Some things maybe God's not ready to show up and I don't need to deal with. But the indicators are fear, guilt, shame. When those come in your life, that's your red flag that meet with the Lord. Whoa, this is something you wanted to free me of, Lord. My energies can be spent more focused on being a blessing. That was my word for yesterday. Blessing, be a blessing. That's what the sermon was, be a blessing. You need to be whole. We need you whole. The world needs your unique, whole person released into it to bring God's perfect peace, love, forgiveness, healing to those who are broken, to the captives. Your healing is more than just for yourself. God cares about that. But your wholeness will naturally flow out to others. Naturally. Look at Sean and Melissa and Lucinda. It's like, it's just flowing out. You can't almost stop them. Those are the last 3 weeks of speakers that have given their testimony. It's just flowing. We will still keep making mistakes because we're imperfect. We will learn from them. You will learn from them. We will learn to forgive each other. And I understand that some of those lies are deeper. But don't get comfortable in your lie. You need wholeness. I need wholeness because the world needs us whole. The good news is that we can be whole. Your issues are not so deep and great that God cannot reach in there and make you whole. I don't care what addiction you've had your whole life. Let God start getting through the layers. You might need a support group, just support groups. But you can be. We need to realize we can. You can. You can be whole. It's not so bad that you can't. There's a point in your life you're going to need an encounter with God, and you're going to say, God, either this word is true or it's not. And I decided one of those times that, like I said, Lord, I'm tired of feeling bad as a Christian all the time. This cannot be what you died for. This is not good news to share with the world. Come in and feel bad. That's the worst. You know, but you don't. Repentance and confession. Either God is going to forgive you when you confess, or he's not. You better believe which one it is and start being free. He's offering the freedom. Receive it. Own it. It's possible with Jesus. And my heart just, you can tell, my heart is desperate for you to know this. Desperate for you to know this. Stop living those lies and be whole. God bless.
Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We're very special to him. He loved us and he gave himself up for us. If God loves us that much, then I want to be the kind of church that he loves. I want to be the kind of family that he can be proud of. The kind of body that's healthy. So as we linger right now, there's four questions. These are not exhaustive, of course. They're just to help us kind of focus and internalize all the stuff we've heard today, and we've heard a lot. First question is, will my current lifestyle lead me to the fullness of God? Going back to the beginning, all those statements of full measure, full measure, full measure. Is my current lifestyle leading me that way? Or if I tended to isolate, tended to keep to myself, tended not to engage and be a part of this family that Jesus said, that's the context of my fullness. Number two, am I truly devoted to the people of the church? That's a process. I understand that. Can't just go, okay, I'm devoted. You don't even know people. But are you taking the initial steps to become a part of one of the groups in common that Cassie spoke about? And you can check those. To serve one another, to just to start to connect. Take the initial steps of this lifelong process of learning what it means to be devoted. Number three, do I need to reconcile with anyone in the church? No gathering, no assembly is perfect. There's issues. But Jesus said, if you know that your brother has something against you and you're in worship, said, leave worship, go make it right, then come back and worship. So maybe there's something that you realize that you're at odds with someone. You need to fix that right away. Then last, am I open to anyone coming into the church? Are there prejudices? I love our church because we're so diverse. I prayed for that for years. We used to be almost all white. I know you say, Pastor, but you're white. You should feel comfortable with that. I'll tell you what, I feel very uncomfortable if everybody's white. It makes me nervous. I like the cultures. I like the colors. I like the languages. I like the food. I love us because we're so diverse. But maybe it's not about ethnicity. Maybe it's about something else. And are we truly, truly welcoming of anyone? Those are just four questions to get you started. There's probably going to be others that spin in your mind. But the elders will be in the side corners, ready to pray with you if you have specific need. But let's talk to God. Let's talk to God about us and each of our place in this beautiful church that Jesus died for. And then as you exit, you can take a look at the tables and maybe take that first step of becoming the beautiful body of Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd help us. We don't have all the answers. We don't even expect that. But we know you do. We might be afraid of engaging. Will they like me? Will I fit in? Will I be smart enough for this group? But my past is ugly. Will they accept me? So many questions create fear and shame and guilt. Lord, I pray that as we seek you this morning, you would talk to us about those areas and that you would guide us past those things that we know aren't true into what is beautifully true. Help us this morning, Lord, as we seek you in Jesus' name. Let's linger. If you have to go, no judgment if you do, but I encourage you to stay, pray, seek God, see one of the elders if you have specific need, and then stop by the tables on your way out. Have a great rest of your Sunday.